2022, I'm going to talk about the great contrast. In 2022, we've been declaring that this is season. We have entered into seasons of not just a year of progressive preparation, but these are seasons. Say seasons. 2022 onwards, beyond that, okay, from 2022 and beyond, these are times of progressive preparation for God's pure and mature church. And feels like we're going to keep emphasizing it every message. And I shared 4 points. The first one was, number one, verbalize it with me. Number one, a great contrast. So this season of time, all right, until Jesus returns, what are we going to see? It's going to look like this. It's going to be a great, great contrast. Number two, there's a great, great restoration taking place. Amen. Number three, there's a great, great mountain being established. Sorry, I'm using great, great twice. You know when the word great, great repeats means it's really great. Malaysians should know that. Chinese people speaking people should understand that. And even the Hebrew language uses the same thing. All right? So when God says, listen carefully, literally in the Hebrew is, listen, listen. All right? Something like that. Anyway. So great contrast, great restoration, great mountain, and the greater glory. And we've spoken about this in brief, just to get a sense of what it all looks like. But let me focus this morning about the great contrast. We are living in the days of great, great contrast. And I don't know, I mean, you can see it. You don't have to go far. It's very obvious. We can see it. But this great contrast didn't start yesterday, didn't start today, it didn't start just a few years ago. Started right back in the book of Genesis. Right in the very, very there back there in Genesis. And let me take you through this progressive revelation of this great contrast that begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. Let me just take you through that to see that we not only it was already there, but we're living in it, and it's going to continue right through until Jesus returns. And I'm not doing a thorough study here, but just handpicking just a few to make the point this morning. So the first one is found in Genesis chapter 1. And the first contrast we see is what? Light and darkness. Okay, there's a picture here. Next one is to see the contrast between light and darkness and day and night. But I want to read from verses Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, to see what was happening and then what happened afterwards. Okay, well, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There are some scholars that believe, and this is also what I see it as well, I would fall under that camp. There are scholars that believe that between verses 1 and 2, something happened. All right, because when you look at when God says in other parts of the Bible, when he creates things complete, whole, all right, beautiful, okay? But here you find God created the heavens and the earth. Then we have verse 2, but what happened between verse 1 and verse 2? Something happened, okay? And because of that something happened, what do you see on the earth? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So there was darkness covering the earth. So in Isaiah chapter 60, as we've been reading, though darkness covers the earth, right? But your light, arise, shine, your light has come. So in the same way here, if you think of Isaiah 60, as we've been reading that over and over again, and here you go back right in Genesis, darkness covers the face of the deep. But what happened? Darkness didn't prevail. And what does it say? It says, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Notice how he separated. Can you see that? He separated God. He divided the light from the darkness. This is the contrast that began right in Genesis. All right? Do you understand where I'm going with the darkness was covering the earth? Okay? So some say that it was when, you know, Satan was cast to the earth or something like that anyway. But darkness covered the earth. So the first separation right there is God separated the light from the darkness that was hovering over the earth. Let me go to the next one here, and we find the next contrast. So what I'm saying is that right there, the contrast was seen and is going to flow right through the whole Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, now we fast forward a little bit, the fall of man, Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what happened? In a nutshell, there's a contrast seen. There's two streams. And you're going to see, I want to read a verse, but I want you to pay attention to the seed of the woman. Say with me, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Okay, so now that man had fallen, God says, Adam, where are you? And he says, oh, I was naked and I was hid myself and I was afraid. And they clothed themselves with fig leaves. And God, you know, began to speak to them and he spoke to the serpent first, okay? And this is what God said to the serpent. Are you ready? So the Lord said to the serpent, I'm going to skip that little bit there, okay? We're going to go to verse 15. What did God say to the serpent? I will put enmity between you, that is the serpent. I've added that in, right? The brackets I've added in so you know who he's talking about. Between you and the woman and between your seed meaning the seed of the serpent, because remember he's talking to the serpent, and her seed. Who is that? The seed of the woman. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his feet. So the colors, hopefully you're able to follow that as well. There's two streams, one contrast there, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Are you following so far? Let's go to the next one here. I don't know, my phone is getting excited. I don't know why it's vibrating. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one here. Another contrast we see is in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Following up, and what does it say? It says, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. There's a distinction between the wise and the wicked. Is that right? We've got the contrast between the wise and the unwise, or we could say the wise and the wicked. So I'm just taking a few here so far, and I'm going to bring you right to the end now, to the book of Revelation. And here we have another contrast. We have two women mentioned. Of course, a lot of controversies as to who those women are, but I think we can all agree, we're going to see in the moment, so there's two women. There's a woman in Revelation 12, and there's a woman in Revelation chapter 17. Following so far? Okay. All right, there's a contrast right here, and I'm not going to take the time to go through this. This is not the point, but I'm showing you is, if you can understand the visuals a little bit, you should be able to see one is positive, one's negative. Yeah? Clear? And hopefully the visual helps you understand that the woman dressed in scarlet with a cup in her hand sitting on the beast with seven head is talking about the woman, talking about Babylon and so on and so forth. And so here's a contrast. The woman of Revelation 12, who is taken into the wilderness by God, protected by God for 3.5 years. And then we have a contrast here of another woman. This one is sitting on the abominations of the nations. Are you following so far? Contrast. Say with me, contrast. These are the days we're living in. That contrast is going to go right through to the very end. So let me bring it into a summary here. Summary of this contrast. You have on the one side, light. And on the other side, darkness. Help me. We have the seed of the woman, and on the other side, the seed of the serpent. We have the wise, the other side we have the unwise. We have the woman of Revelation 12, then we have the woman of Revelation 17. Contrast. We are living in contrast, and the Bible is filled with these contrasts. Jacob, Esau, Isaac, Ishmael, so on and so forth. And we could go on and go on and go on. Are you following? Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, here's the thing now, okay? I got, I don't know if you can call it points. I guess I got 4 points here, and then we're getting to those four things here that I want to share. All right? Now, first thing I want to show you is, next one, is I want to read Daniel chapter 12. Oh, hang on, before I think, what is that? Yeah, keep going. Next one. Yeah. I'll leave it here for a moment here, okay? I'm going to read Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And how many parties do you see? How many people do you see on this screen? Three, okay? We got Satan on the one side. We got a person here in the middle. And we got Jesus or God on the other side. Are you following so far? Now, what we're going to read in each of these three here, can you see on the screen that in each one it has underneath or next to them, it says going to and fro? All right? You're following so far? So this is what I'm going to focus on right now from now on. So all I've done so far is just giving you an introduction of a great contrast that we're living in that began in Genesis that takes us right through to Revelation. That was the first part. Are you with me? So now I'm going to talk about, in this great contrast that we're talking about, I'm going to talk about now, focus on this idea of going to and fro. And you see Satan is going to and fro. People are going to and fro. And God, especially the eyes of the Lord, are going to and fro. What do we mean by that? What does it mean? And how is that related to this great contrast? Well, you can see the contrast already, one on the side, one on the left, and there's one in the middle we have to choose. That's you and me. Are you with me so far? The great contrast. Trying to build a contrast here in the pictures. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. What does it say? It says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end." We are living in the time of the end, by the way. These are the last days. And read it with me. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So we're reading in the book of Daniel that in those days, in the time of the end, we're going to see two aspects. There's going to be two things happening. Number one, many shall run to and fro. Number two, knowledge shall increase. Now, let's think about it for a moment here. Is that in the natural realm? How is that happening? Yeah. People are running to and fro. Everybody, everywhere. Like chicken without heads. All right? But with the lockdown now, we stay put a little bit, right? But think about it. Even beyond that, I can be sitting on my computer and I'm in Alaska. Or I could be on my computer and I'm in Africa. What do I mean by that? I can hook up online. You know what I'm saying? I'm not there physically, but I can go everywhere. I used to tell my, I was trying to get my dad to go, I was trying to tell him, let's go and, yes. I was saying to you, I had some tickets. My dad likes classical music. And so I got some free tickets to go to a concert in the, if it's still called the same, what the, where they play the orchestra, Perth Convention, I think. Perth Concert Hall, that's the one, yeah? And I had a friend who gave me free tickets, and I told him, "Hey, Dad, I know you like classical music. I got tickets for two. Why don't we go together?" And he was like, "Oh, man, I'm busy, man. You know, I got so many things to do." It's like, you know, it's, to go out there is take too much time. You know, if I want to listen to classical music, I can just go on YouTube and listen to it. And I thought, oh, what a great opportunity for son and father to spend time together. But the point is not saying that. The point is that it's kind of true though, isn't it? I'm not saying that one's better than the other. I'm just saying that you could just be at home and you're already there even though you're not there. If you kind of know what I'm saying here. I'm not physically there, but you can be there somehow. Anyway, so my point is many shall go to and fro. knowledge shall increase, and all kinds of knowledge is on the rise, for especially since the age of enlightening or the age of reason, the scientific age, all right, knowledge has been increasing like crazy. But now, this is us, okay? This is what it says of us. Many will go to and fro, knowledge shall increase. Let's leave it there for a moment. That's what it says about people. Let's look about what it now says. Now I'm going to take you to the contrast. What does it say on this side, Satan, and what does it say on the other side, Jesus or God? In Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, it says this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So Satan was there. And the Lord said to Satan, where do you come from? And what did Satan say? So Satan answered the Lord and said, read it with me, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it. What was he doing? What was he walking? He had nothing to do. Is it just walking, go for a walk, back and forth? What was he doing? And God said to him, hey, have you considered my servant Job? You checked him out? All right. But my point is here, can you see who is going to and fro here? Satan. Keep that in mind, all right? He's looking for something, isn't he? Perhaps he's looking to someone to, as a victim, or maybe he's trying to find someone, because remember, the Bible says, the devil, Satan, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, so he's going to and fro. Now, on the other side, let's look at God now in this case. What does it say? And I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So who is going to and fro now? The eyes. See, because God is everywhere, right? He doesn't even need to go. His eyes can just cover the whole thing, right? Satan has to walk. God just gives a glance and he's already seen it all. Amen. Great contrast. Can you see that? Okay, anyway. So let me bring back that contrast here again. Next one. Should be able to see here. And I'm adding here all the points we've covered. Darkness, light, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, wise, the wicked and the unwise, the woman of Revelation 17 and the woman of Revelation 12. Here's the great contrast. That's the point I'm trying to say here. There's a great contrast. Many are going to and fro. Satan going to and fro. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. You and I are going to and fro. Where are we going in life is a question. So here's my first point. Well, before I mention it, you can leave it there. But as you can see here, what is the idea of going to and fro? We've read the verses, right? Looking, that's right, it's exactly right. Looking, Satan is looking for something. God is looking for something. And man is looking for something. Why is man going to and fro? They're seeking for something. They're seeking perhaps knowledge. What kind of knowledge though? And that's where I've got the trees here to give that answer, all right? Satan, okay, well, let me put it this way. What did Satan do in the garden? He tried to make Eve and Adam, obviously Adam included, but tempted Eve, the woman, to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right? So you can see that, and he says, do you not know that in the day that you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil and all that stuff? So there is something, he says, that fed the lust from Eve to say, oh, I'm going to, if I can feed from that, if I can find that, if I can discover that, I could be like God. Can you see that? That's what Satan, he wants us. We are in the middle. What are you and I looking for? Satan wants us to feed from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But on the other side, what does God want us to do? God always created us to feed from the tree of life, correct? Man lost access to it in Genesis because of the fall, but in the book of Revelation, this tree is restored back to the overcomers of the church. Can you say amen to that, right? So what is God looking for? He's looking for loyalty, and we're going to cover that in a moment. While Satan is looking for people who will seek knowledge. Okay, so this is my point here. On this side, they're seeking knowledge, the knowledge which has mixture of good and evil. And on this side, God wants us to have the knowledge of God, to know Him intimately. So now I can share the 4 points, all right? First one here is on this side, on the negative side, okay, in this day of contrast, the going to and fro, you can see there's a negative aspect, there's a positive, there's a contrast here. On the negative side, it brings us to be independent from God. But on the other side, God wants us to be dependent upon Him. So in these days of contrast, you see this: independence from God and dependence on God. Are you following so far with me? The devil wants us to be independent, to have knowledge independent from God, knowing both good and evil. But God wants us to live continuously dependent upon Him. So let me ask the question, which tree are we feeding from? From the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or from the tree of life? Which tree are we feasting on? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life? When you talk about independent, how do we act independently? Do you think you and I can still, as believers, act independently? Yeah. Yeah, when we make our own decisions, when we make our own thoughts, or when we have our own opinions, or when we don't consult God, we don't depend on Him, we depend on ourselves. We're depending on our flesh. We're depending on the news. We're depending on people. We're depending on this situation. We're depending on the government. We're depending on the doctors. That is independence. That's the tree. You see, and the problem with that is the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a mixture of good and bad, which means that it may look good and it has appearance of good and it may contain some good, but anything that is even good taken to any extremes becomes bad. Anything that's twisted or stretched too far, even if it has measures of good, it becomes bad. So it's a mixture of good and evil. What do we look for? Like when you and I need, do you need answers in life? Right, we need answers in life. What's the first thing? Who is the first one we ask? Do we ask God, or do we ask maybe Google search, or ask someone? And you can see how we are very accustomed to live very independently from God. Let me go to the next one here. So I hope I'm making a point here. In this day of contrast, as God's people, we are to live dependent on God. He is the vine, as we've been hearing in the past times. The next one here is, in this contrast, in this great contrast, on the one side, many are being tossed to and fro. What do I mean by that? Okay, maybe I should read Ephesians chapter 4. It says this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, it says this: "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, by and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." So God is saying, hey, come to maturity, because I don't want you to be pushed around by every wind of doctrine, by every teachings and planning and crafting, cunning craftiness of men. So question is this: if we're feeding from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you find you're being tossed to and fro. You're tossed by the news. We're tossed by someone's feed, social media. Someone said this and someone said that. And one said this and one said that one. And so we are constantly being shaken. We have no stability. We're hearing the voice of man rather than hearing the voice of God. We're being pushed around by, you should do this or you shouldn't do that. You should wear masks. No, 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 you shouldn't wear masks. You should get the vaccine. No, 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 you shouldn't get the vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. No, 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 it's not the mark of the beast. It's, you're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Are we living in those days? Are we hearing both spectrums? Mark of the beast, not the mark of the beast. Vaccine, don't get vaccinated. Evil, and conspiracy, no, it's not conspiracy. No, it's real, it's not real. Some would say the vaccine, the COVID is not even real. It's just a bluff to control the world. Oh, no, 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 but people are dying. Oh, I know relatives who died from COVID. Oh, but this, I'm not trying to defend any side, and I'm not here to do that this morning. All I'm telling you is, what I'm saying, though, is a reality of what you would hear. Maybe not you, maybe not your family, but maybe your relatives, or maybe your own family. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. You tell me. I'm being tossed in fro by every wind of doctrine right now. You can see it. Okay, do you see the contrast? That's what I'm trying to say. Now, keep listening because this is very important. But on the other side, on the positive sides, God wants us to not be tossed to and fro, but to go from glory to glory. Can you say amen? That's very important. Not tossed to and fro, but come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. You see that? The knowledge of the Son of God. Devil wants us to feed from the knowledge of good and evil. God wants us to have the knowledge of the Son of God. What do I change from glory to glory? You've shared many times. We are beholding Him as in a mirror. And maybe the last message that I shared, maybe there's a bit of that. So maybe go back to that one if you're not too sure. Let me go to the third one here. The third point is, in this great contrast, not only people are being tossed to and fro, but people are turning to the right or to the left. Turn to the right or to the left. In politics, what do you have? The right and the left. Conservative and what's the other one? A progressive. Okay? So you have one side here. Pro-Trump, anti-Trump. Pro-Biden, anti-Biden. So to right and left. This policies and that policy. You got a right and a left. Turning to the right and to the left. Let me read... I skipped a verse, didn't I? That's okay. Maybe we'll end with that. Let me read Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it." What does it say? "To the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." And what I'm saying here is that if we are playing the devil's game, he wants to toss us to and fro. And what is going to cause us to do? Turn here, turn there, go there, everywhere, join this camp, join that camp. And then there's a great divide. Then there's a great division. And some of the concerns of church leaders that they're seeing is because, and again, it's not trying to say who's right and who's wrong. I think there's legitimate concerns on both sides. And so I'm not trying to remove that those realities. But what I'm saying is that sometimes what can happen, I think we are all going to be conscious and be careful as we're progressing on, because this issue about the borders and issue about the government and even this story that I shared earlier about the Catholic Church that was visited by the police to enforce maskings and checking proof of vaccination right in the middle of what they call the mass or whatever. Yeah, the whole service they're doing. Just interrupted right in the middle of it, right? So that raises concerns. So I'm not saying this doesn't happen, but my point is this, that it's like if we overemphasize on the either side, our focus now is slanted. And what I'm saying here is, in this time, it is crucial for us to remain Christ-centered. Okay? Because if it becomes about you take this, you don't take that, you're on this side and I'm on that side, I stand against this, I stand for this, I like the government, I don't like the government, this is the... And this becomes our focus, and I'm not saying these are not important, I'm saying, but if that becomes our focus, not only we're being tossed to and fro, but we're either turning to the right or to the left, and we've lost the focal point, which is right in the middle, and that's Christ. And if we lose sight of Christ, we get caught up in these things, guess what happens? Division. And these are one of the things that the church leaders are concerned, and they're seeing kind of, we've got to be really careful here how we voice out, how we speak, what are we representing here on this earth? So we've got to be conscious. So we've got to stay Christ-focused. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but stay on course. And that course is the pathway that Christ has given to all of us, which is to be conformed to His image and be a blessing to the nations. Amen. So where are we going? Let me ask a question before I lead you to the final point here, and I'll conclude with the last point. My question again is, where are we going? We are going to and fro. Which way? The devil's way, tossing us to and fro, to the right or to the left? Or are we going from glory to glory? Are we gaining more knowledge, more and more knowledge, but the knowledge mixed with good and evil? Or are we gaining more of the knowledge of the Son of God? Let me read quickly. You're going to go backwards here a little bit for me here. And I'm going to read Amos chapter 8, verse 11 to 12 before I bring my last part to conclude. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall," what? "Run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord." So you can see when you're going to and fro, you're seeking for something, you're searching for something. Now they're seeking the word of the Lord, but it says what? "But shall not find it." I hope that this is not us this morning, all right? That we're going to go from glory to glory. We'll be those who seek God and find and hear, because there is a voice in the book of Revelation, the Spirit, take heed, or hear what the Spirit of the Lord, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. And I hope that you and I want to hear and are hearing what God is saying to this local church and to the body of Christ. And what is God saying to me personally as well? Very important. So where are we going to and fro? How are we going about this? For some of us, it might look like this. Listen to this. We go from Facebook page to Facebook page, from YouTube video to YouTube video, from news article to another news article, from this to another this. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going from this to this, from this to this, from this to this, to and fro. We're going back around in circles. And I'm not saying don't listen to the news and all that, but you got to be careful in some ways. Are we being carried away by this? That's where we got to really ask ourselves. Or are we really going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from greater insights, from knowing God, getting closer to who He is? I think that's the most important. Do you agree with me? So we're not like those going to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord and not finding it. Now, take note, it doesn't say there's a famine of the word. I made a mistake myself by saying that. It says what? There's a famine of what? Hearing. And I don't believe that we're living in a time where there's a lack of the word. There's a lot of the word out there. You can find it if you want to look for it. Okay? There are many men and women of God who have gone before us. Resources are available, you know, as like never before. More accessible than ever before. But it's not the word content here. It's whether we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It's just a famine of hearing. So I think we've got to be very concerned. Am I hearing, or am I hearing what the devil wants me to do? Let me go to the last point here. Are you following with me so far? Is this too much this morning? You're okay with that? But can you feel that this is relevant to today? That they were facing this every day. right? What am I feeding on? All right? Am I feeding on social media? Is that the whole thing? Instagram and from game to game, from this and that. Think about it. I don't want to be carried away by that. Last one here. In this great contrast, you see, one is loyalty to self, and the other side is loyalty to the Lord. In this great contrast, you see, there's loyalty to self versus loyalty to the Lord. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is to be independent. Self, I want to know like God. It's about me. So focal point is me. I got to be loyal to myself. On the other side is, what is God looking for? The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. Looking for what? To see whose hearts are loyal to you. Okay, now, stick with me for a moment. This is my final point. And I think this is really important. Now, I have heard this statement being said a number of times. I have to be loyal to myself. So people make decisions, some important decisions, whatever decisions, only because they feel the need to be sincere to themselves. Now, is it wrong to be honest with ourselves? No, right? If, let's say, you say something to me and I didn't understand, do I have to pretend like I understood just to, no, I'll be sincere. Like, you know, I didn't get it. It's okay to be sincere. I didn't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see it the way you see it. I'm sincere, all right? But here is, am I making decisions for my life for the sake of being sincere to me? Does the Bible say make decisions for the basis of being sincere to ourselves? We have to have a clear conscience, all right? But is it about being sincere to myself? And I would say no. I don't think it's not the right thing. My decisions must be governed by being sincere to what God says, because what I think I'm sincere within myself may not be right at all. I may have the idea that this is good for me and that I'm sincerely believing that, but that doesn't make it right just because I'm sincere within myself. Yeah, maybe I did it in ignorance, and God's faithfulness and mercy will show me the way in time, in due time, but it doesn't make it a right thing. So my approach is not, as long as I'm sincere with myself, everything is okay. No, well, I think there's mercy in there. God, you know, will lead us to the right track if we're truly sincere. But I think it's not a wise statement as a whole, because what I believe is loyalty to the Lord. Let me take you to 2 Chronicles here. I think I've got the wrong reference here. It's chapter 15, not 16. Let me say this. Okay, let me. Reading this might be too much. Let me give you a brief story here of the context of what's happening here, and you'll begin to see what I'm talking about here. And if there's anything that God is looking for, definitely that portion of Scripture will give us the answer here. Now, in this instance here, there's a king. Now, follow me. This is the last story. We're going to conclude here. There's a king. His name is Asa. Say Asa. He's a king of Judah. Right? And here a prophet comes to him, sent to him. His name is Azariah, and he has a message from God for the king. And what does he say? He said, I'm going to read it from the bold section. Can you see it here? All right, let me read from verse 2. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." All right? And then for a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him. That means they seek him. He was found by them. So what did they do? What did the prophet say? Trust in the Lord. Seek the Lord. Is that a fair thing to say? Okay. Now in verse 7, it continues on to say, this is and so as a result of that, he trusted the Lord, and the Lord prospered him. All right, does that make sense so far? You following me so far? So God gave him favor. So that's the first part. But then the next chapter, okay, he does something in 2 Chronicles 16 now, in verse 7. So the one was previous chapter 15, now we're chapter 16. In verse 7, now another prophet comes to this king and speaks to him. Are you ready? This is the prophet or the seer Hanani. Came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have read it out loud with me. What? Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. So from chapter 15, he sought the Lord, he trusted the Lord, he relied on the Lord, to now in chapter 16, he's turned from relying on the Lord to relying on the king of Syria. Who is he trusting? He's trusting man. Okay, then I don't have the verse on the screen, but leave it. I'm just going to read it. Then not only that, I'll just verbalize. I don't need to read it. It says this, at the end of his days, he had a disease in his feet. Say disease with his, in his feet. And do you know what it says? It says that he didn't trust the Lord. Do you know who he trusted instead? He's trusted in physicians, doctors. All right? He did not, it says he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. I think about it now. Chapter 15, the prophet says, trust in God, rely on God, seek the Lord. And he does that and things go well. Then he decides to rely on the king of Syria and rely on doctors. Wasn't a very good choice, was it? And it is in that context that then we have 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Look at this. Read it with me. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Does it say loyal to self? No, loyal to him. Because the moment I look to self, to myself, I'm already feeding from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me say this in passing. This might not click, but remember Romans chapter 7? What I want to do, I cannot do. Can you see? I will to do good, but I do evil. I don't want to do evil, and I seek to do good, and I do evil. So there's a battle between what? Good, evil. I want to do, I cannot do. I want to do good, but I do evil. Romans 7. Okay, go back and read the chapter. Because we're depending on self-effort. But the law condemns us, you cannot do it. So the moment we're looking to ourselves to attain righteousness in that context, you cannot. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He concludes. And that's what I'm saying. If we're to be loyal to self, self has no, yourself, I mean your own strength. That's what I mean. The man, we have no capacity in ourselves. So can you say how foolish in a way it is to say, as long as I'm loyal to self, myself, and that's enough. I'm just saying that it's not a wrong statement altogether. I just say that that's very dangerous because what I think may be completely wrong. And God is not calling me to just be honest with myself. It's be honest and loyal to what he says. I may not understand it. I may not comprehend it. I may not always understand it, but I'm not called to trust in myself. I'm called to trust in the Lord. What tree are we feeding from? The tree of knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life? What is God looking for? Those whose hearts are loyal. In other words, those who are loyal, next one, those who are loyal, they are the ones who are always dependent on God. They are the ones who feed on God. They are the one who trust in God. Whereas when we start to be loyal to self and seek for our self-interest, I want to be like God. I could be like God. I could see good and evil like God. And that's the thing. I hope you get the gist of the message this morning. In conclusion, many are going to and fro. Question I want to ask you and I, where are we going? Are we being pushed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? Are we turning to the right and to the left, going around everywhere? Are we being carried away by the things of the world and losing our focus on God? We're living in the days of great contrast. Where do you and I stand? We stand in the middle. Do you be on the Lord's side? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that in your heart this morning? Let me find final words. Of course, knowing this is great. What will you and I do as a result of that? In other words, Satan is looking, searching, going to and fro. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. Men are going to and fro. My question to you, where are we going to and fro? Are we searching for the knowledge of the world, or are we striving for the knowledge of God? So my challenge to everyone, practically, what will we do after this message here? What will you and I do? What will you and I do? Still be carried away by everything else? Or will you say, I really want to know God? I want to learn how to study the scriptures. I want to feed from the tree of life. I want to feed from God. I want to feed off and fill my mind with all the negatives and with all the theories. I want to know God. I want to challenge you this morning. Don't say, I already know God. I read my Bible. I'm saying there's got to be more than what we know at current at. If there is a progressive preparation, it means I got to get better. So ask ourselves, am I better than last year? Am I better than the previous years? Am I growing from glory to glory? And I'm not here to tell you the answer. I'm saying you ask yourself the question. Okay? So somehow, I don't know how I'm going to close this, but somehow I also want to say that we want to put things in measures so that the whole church can benefit from growing in the things of the Spirit. And when those things come, when those things appear and pop up, go for it. All right? Go for it with all your heart. Prioritize those things. And if you have a desire to know, okay, well, I read the Bible, but I'm always stuck with the same books and I find it hard to read, or I don't know how to study the Bible, then approach the leaders. And we want to, our hearts is to make sure that every believer in this house is equipped to do it. I'm not saying we have all the answers, but we can give you something that you can hook up to, and God will do the work. But hook up, you know, we want to, you know, as much as we can, as much as the Lord allows and imparts, we want to be able to do that. So ask, search, ask questions, or ask for this. If you want to know, learn how to read the scriptures more and more, okay, find out, talk to the leaders, do something. I'm saying, rather than just living life normally and casually and be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Let's pray. Do you think you could follow with what I'm saying this morning? Too much information. I hope I've not tossed you to and fro. Oh no. I hope in a good way. I hope if it's being tossed, you're going from glory to glory. Let's rise to our feet. Lord, help us, Lord. You are our help. You are our help in this great contrast, in this time where we see a great distinction between light and darkness. Holy Spirit, you are the greatest revelator. You are the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we might know Jesus. By your Spirit this morning, all of us have to make a decision. All of us every day have to choose, make a decision. In these days of great contrast, that every single one of us here this morning, I do pray, Lord, that all of us here are seeking, are searching, are hungry, are thirsty, thirsty, like the woman of the well was thirsty, Lord. Let us be thirsty for you, Lord, this morning. Keep us, Lord. Let our lives be hidden in you. You are our greatest hiding place, to be in the secret place of the Lord, sheltered from every storm. Let our hearts and mind be settled on you, to look up to heaven, you as the author of and finisher of our faith. Yes, Lord Jesus, do this mighty work in our lives. I trust in your power this morning, that there is a stirring from within that is pushing us forward, moving us into action. I ask this morning that it would not just be a hearing that stirs for a moment, but a hearing that leads to action, leads to action. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can get the musicians to come down, I want to sing the song "Jesus, I Am Thirsty." As we sing this song, let me say that really quickly here in passing. If you go back and read, and I would encourage you to do that, right? Since we are searching, right? We are those going to and fro. But what are you searching? Searching the scriptures, right? Searching Jesus. We want to know Him. Well, can I say this? Go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And look at how when Asa on the positive side, King Asa, on the positive side, not after he relied on the king of Syria, but before that, when he relied on the Lord, look at what he did. It says he heard the words of the prophets, and then look at all the verbs that he does. Do you know what he does? He removes the abominable things, he restores the altar, he gathers the people to worship, he takes action. Oh, I saw that and I thought, wow, Lord, he didn't just hear. His hearing caused him to do something. Let's remove the abominable things. Let's restore the altar of the Lord. Let's gather the people to worship and bring our offerings before the Lord. He took action. He didn't just hear. I'm saying here, there's action for us to be taken from today's message. Will you search the scriptures like never before? Will you seek the things of the Spirit more than anything else? Oh, and not be carried away. Amen? Let's sing "Jesus, I Am Thirsty."